number 4 on page 261 in John T. Christian's History of the Baptist Church. Now we've studied church history so far better than I did since I taught it in the seminary. This is the best set of classes that I have recorded, especially on video and all, that I've ever done in my life. And so I'm trying to do these things at the end of my life to kind of tie up all the laces and finish things off where we leave a legacy behind. Because there aren't very many people teaching this today. I was the only one for the 20-some-odd years that I was at Valley Baptist Church that ever taught church history. And people, when they came into church history classes, they were so excited that they didn't want to leave. And it would just stay in there, continue asking me questions. And I'd have a classroom full of people, 50 or 60, 70 people. And they were just all excited about church history. And I taught the doctrines, the evolution of theology, and all of that down through here. And we're getting that through here. I never talked about the evolution of Baptist theology like I have this time. I would say that a little bit and just throw in bits and pieces of it as going, but we're studying it just decade per decade all the time they were here in America. And I'm going to get, this is not my only textbook. When we get into California, it's going to be very exciting when we get to California, because that was when they had to carry a gun in the pulpit so they could preach. And they were doing that here also back in these times. They had to defend themselves as they were preaching. And you'll find out that in the last class that we did, this 65-year-old man was arrested when he got down to pray, and they usually got down on the knees, the preacher did, and prayed before the message. And then they would have the message. When he got down to pray, they came over and put their hand on his shoulder, and you're under arrest. For what? Preaching the gospel. You're going to preach the gospel contrary to the Church of England and the Catholic Church. Now, there was a high cost of freedom in America. Religious liberty. It did not come with the Constitution. The Constitution did not give you freedom of religion or freedom of speech. When I speak and preach the Word of God, I have the freedom of speech to do that to some extent. I have been blocked off of different entities out there in the media world because of that. Even on our one website, it's if they don't like what I say, they can take my sermon down. And we don't have one now. We're still trying to get the other sermon, Discover the Word with DrJim.com, back. They stole it. And I had to put up over $300 to get it back and wasted money because it's gone. I still... somehow I've got to try to get that one back because there's a tremendous amount of material on it. And these history resources, this book is on there, the whole book. You could follow me as you go along from that website. But like I said, it's hijacked and Saigon or someplace. We talk about the evils of the established churches in Virginia, in Georgia, Missouri, wherever we have gone. There was a lot of problems with Baptist preaching. Baptists never tried to stop other people from preaching. They believed in freedom of speech. In the First Amendment, you have freedom of religion and freedom of speech. In the Second Amendment, you have the right to carry a firearm or protect yourself from the government and from others. It actually was the freedom, the right to bear arms was the right to bear arms against an unruly dictatorial government. That's what it was originally about. It wasn't to protect yourself, but it does that also. Now, after the Constitution was finally ratified, the Baptists would not ratify the Constitution. Did you know that? They didn't want to ratify the Constitution. They had a lot of political power in some states, and they did not want their representatives to ratify the Constitution because it gave you no freedom of religion, nor freedom of speech. So finally, James Mason and different ones, Thomas Jefferson, they talked and they said, let's go ahead and ratify the Constitution, or the states are liable to fall, everything's liable to fall apart. And then we'll be victims of whatever, of any kind of tyranny. They said, let's do that and let's write amendments to the Constitution. So we have the first and we have the second, and we have a lot of amendments to the Constitution. Now, today, the Constitution means nothing to the group up there in Washington, D.C. that are in power today. The Constitution means nothing. They'll just write a new Constitution or just ignore it or reinterpret it. But it was hard to get where we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. You know, in Baptist churches, in primitive Baptist churches, in many of the Baptist churches, they would not allow church members to get a license to marriage. If you did that, they wanted complete separation of church and state. In Catholicism, in the Church of England, you had to get a license to marry and you had to get a license to bury. And they wanted to baptize you, the infants, so they would become a member of the church and the state. And that's what Constantine did back in 325 A.D. This is when it all began, the church and state. Baptists have stood for separation of church and state, and I hope they always will. Because I hear things today that I don't like about that. Another phase of the liberty of conscience must now be recorded. Already the persecution of the past, the enlistment of soldiers in the army, the struggles of the war of the revolution, the adoption of the Constitution, the First Amendment to the Constitution, the United States to have been considered. In all these measures, the Baptists had an honorable part. We wouldn't have the amendments to the Constitution if it wasn't for the Baptists. Did you know that? Wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have the First Amendment. You wouldn't have the Second Amendment if it wasn't for the Baptists. They had so much to do with it. And there was a high cost to this freedom. There was proceeding at the same time another conflict which was scarcely less intense. The several of the states had establishment of religion incorporated into the government by their law in state law. Just because the First Amendment was passed didn't mean that you had freedom of religion in some states. Almost all of the New England states still had state churches. Did you know that? See, this is all. And if you were a member of that, if you were a citizen of that state, you had to pay your taxes, and they took your money and paid the preacher and built church houses. That was what the taxes were for. The most oppressive of this was Virginia. You would not think so, would you? Virginia changed. The laws supporting the establishment were exacting and be administered with severity. The centers were loaded with taxes to support the system of religion for which they did not love nor believe in at all. The marriage laws were unsatisfactory. Everybody had a family Bible a long time ago. Every family had a family Bible. You recorded when you made your vows to each other as married, as husband and wife, sometimes before a minister, sometimes not. Marriage in a Bible was just as valid as anything. But in some states, they required marriage by the state, and you had to buy a license. And the Baptists didn't like this. All of my family, back for 150 years, the marriages were in the Bibles. That family Bible, whenever a child was born, what time of day it was born, what day it was born, that was a birth certificate. Did you know that they didn't have birth certificates? Where do you think that came from? The established church, the established state, the church and state. Married life and children is a matter of religion. The Lord Himself married the first couple in the Bible. Or else they just put them together. You're married. And we have Adam's testimony of that in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. When a man leaves his mother and father and forsakes them, and his wife leaves her mother and father and forsakes them, they become one. The church brought in rich revenues, which were a constant menace to the peace of the people. And indeed, they were many vexatious things disturbed in the public welfare. Entrenched as it was, the establishment of laws of the land endorsed by the aristocracy and in many time servers, it was a tremendous problem to overthrow such an institution. It was a task that the Baptists, together with Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and other noble heroes, undertook to accomplish. Freedom of religion, even after the amendment to the Constitution, was not valid in many states. The Baptists, Thomas Jefferson, and James Madison were the leaders of the group that took and went into the other states, not trying to overrule the state's rights, but make sure that every state that you had a right to not support a preacher that you didn't believe that was preaching the truth. You knew that he wasn't. Sometime toward the end of 1776 had been accomplished, persecutions had greatly added to the numbers and to the determination of the Baptists. Baptists were being so persecuted so heavily that other people that of our other religions, sometimes when they would see what they were going through to believe what they believed, they said, this must be something valid in that deal. I'm going to go join that group. I'm going to go investigate this. When Thomas Jefferson went to the church meeting, what we call a business meeting in a Baptist church, he said that was the purest form of democracy he ever saw. He said our states could learn something about freedom of religion and a pure democracy. Remember, every state at one time believed they had to have a state church to force people to go to church, or else they would become just absolute heathens and ungovernable. They couldn't govern them unless they were subject to a church and a minister. So now we are going to have a revolution in America, not only to separate ourselves from England, but to separate ourselves from this idea. Every atheist in this country ought to be shouting and jumping up and down and praising the Baptist people and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. They were particularly hearty supporters of the Revolution. This brought them in favor with Washington and assisted their cause. General George Washington became a Baptist during the American Revolution and was baptized by John Gano. And after the Revolution, he saw how hard the Baptists fought in the Revolution. Remember what they did. Remember, they got a whole group of preachers together and Baptists, and they said, I want you to let blood. They did a lot of bloodletting back then. A doctor was a barber. And the barber had razors and blades and scalpels. And they removed different kind of things. And the barber was a doctor. And doctors, there weren't any medical schools basically at all. You just went ahead and hooked yourself up with some doctor and learned by apprenticeship how to become a doctor. But they let blood out of their arms into a punch bowl, they said, until the punch bowl was full. And they dipped their swords in that and said, we will not sheath these swords until we have our freedom of religion in America. And they fought. Dr. Hawkes, in his writings, said, no dissenters in Virginia experienced for a time harder treatment than did the Baptists. They were beaten, they were imprisoned, they were cruelly taxed. Its ingenuity to devise new modes of punishment and annoyance, but the men who were not permitted to speak in public, they were not permitted to speak in public. No freedom of speech. Freedom of speech means something, people. It didn't come without cost. And the Church of England and Presbyterians and these people did not support this. Neither did the Catholics. They found willing auditors in the sympathizing groups who gathered around the prisons to hear them preach from grated windows through the prison bars. They said, something's going on with these people's lives that are different than ours. Why do they live their religion? We go to church because we have to. And we go down and we baptize our babies because we have to. And these people dissent from baptizing their children because they said the children can't believe yet. We only baptize believers. And of course, baptism was by immersion. There is no other baptism than immersion, really, in all reality. Study history. Go back. Persecution had taught the Baptists did not love the establishment. And they talked about the establishment. We're talking about the Church of England. Nor the Catholic Church, nor the Presbyterians. The Puritans were a great thorn in their flesh, even at that. I know many people hold the Puritans up to be high and holy and wonderful lives and all of that, but they persecuted these people horribly. They had dunking chairs. You know what the dunking chairs were for? You know, they put them on the end of a pole and they took and dumped the people in the icy waters. They had a chair there and they strapped them to the chair and they dunked them and they dunked them and they dunked them because they were Baptists. They said, you want to baptize people? We're going to baptize you. We're going to dunk you. They put them in stocks. They beat them. Put them in whipping posts. Now they saw before them a reasonable prospect of overturning it altogether. In their associations, they had calmly discussed the matter and resolved on their course, and in this course they were constant to the end. And the war which raged against the church was a war of extermination. They seemed to know no relentings, and their hostility never ceased for 27 years. 27 years they fought for freedom of religion. They fought against established state churches that were in New England, and especially Virginia. They revenged themselves for their sufferings by the almost total ruin of that church, and now commenced the assault inspired by the ardor of patriotism, which recorded with their interests. They addressed the convention and informed that body that their religious tenets presented no obstacle to their taking up arms and fighting for their country. Talked about associations and conventions. Now, the associations and conventions were Baptist associations and Baptist conventions. The Baptist conventions is going to be the Southern Baptist Convention. And they attended the services of their pastors in promoting the establishment of youth of their persuasion. A complimentary answer was returned, and the ministers of all denominations, in accordance with the address, placed on equal footing. They believed that every minister from every denomination should be placed on equal footing. Is that asking too much? If you're a Baptist, it was asking too much, according to them. You know, the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, Islam, all made converts by the sword. And they established a state church. You just go to the Middle East, go to all the Arab nations over there. That is a state church, and it is a state controlled by the church, if you want to call Islam a church. That it is believed was the first step toward religious liberty in America. The convention at Williamsburg, June the 12th, 1776, passed the Declaration of Rights, of which Article 16 is as follows. I hope you're not bored by this. This is giving you a foundation where you walk on. Did you teach you this in school, Larry?
No.
Did they teach you this in school, Marilyn? Sharon? Any of you out there, did they teach this to you in school? That religion, or the duty which we owe to our Creator, and the matter of discharging it can be directed only by reason and conviction, not by force or violence. and therefore that all men are equally entitled to the free exercise of religion according to the dictates of their conscience. Is that so terrible to ask? America is based upon Baptist principles. Why am I a Baptist? This is why I'm a Baptist. The Word of God and the principles that we have stood for so many years. And that is a mutual duty of all to practice Christian forbearance, love, and charity toward one another. Catholics come to me. Jehovah's Witnesses come to me and ask me questions. Church of England, Methodist. Maryland, I married a Methodist, didn't I? But you didn't last very long, did you? It was over with in a few months. I didn't have to tell you. You learned. You heard the Word of God. You heard church history. The action incorporated into the rights of conscience in the fundamental law of that state. Virginia. Remember Virginia. There is interest in the viewpoint of the contestants. A petition of certain of the clergy of the establishment was presented in November 8, 1776 to the legislature, which is as follows. A memorial out of a considerable number of the clergy of the established church was presented November 8, 1776 to the legislature, which was reads as follows. A memorial of a considerable number of the clergy of the established church in Virginia was presented to the House and read, setting forth that having understood that various petitions were being presented to the assembly, praying the abolition of the established church in that state, wished to represent that when they undertook the charge of the parishes in Virginia, they depended upon the public faith for receiving that recompense for their services. In other words, we want to be paid. We want money. We want your taxes. And when we came here, you said you would support us and support this church, and we'd be a state and the church would be one. The Church of England never understood anything but the church and the state. The Presbyterians never understood anything but the church and state. The Pilgrims never understood anything except church and state. These people understood one thing: forced religion. For their services during the life and good behavior which the laws of the land promised. They promised, the churches promised, that they would make the people behave. That the people would obey. That the people would behave. And adhere to the laws of the church and state. A tenure which to them appears of the same sacred nature as that by which every man in the state holds and has secured to him his private property. Now, in other words, they said, we have the same rights as people in the state of having property rights. We want the religious rights to oversee the state. And that such of them as are not yet provided for entering into holy orders, expecting to receive the several emoluments which such religious establishments offered. And from that, the nature of their education, they are to be precluded from gaining a tolerable subsistence in any way other of life. In other words, our ministers are not going to work. We expected to be paid by the state. They expect salaries. We're not going to go out and work like these Baptists do. Baptists would go work, the preachers would, and then they would preach. They'd work and they'd preach. And that therefore they think that it would be inconsistent with justice either to deprive the present incumbents of their parishes or any right or profits they hold or enjoy, or to cut off from such as are now in orders and unbenefited. These expectations, which originated from the laws of the land, they want to go back to the original laws of the land. That's the Church of England, people. And which have been the means of disqualifying them for any other profession, way of life, also that they are far from favoring encroachments on religious rights of any sect or denomination of men, yet they conceive that a religious establishment in a state is conducive to the peace and happiness of that state. We want our church state because we are going to bring peace and happiness, but what had they brought? Persecution. They think that the opinions of mankind have very considerable influence over their practices, and that is therefore cannot be improper for the legislative body of the state to consider how such opinions as are most consonant to reason and of the best efficiency in human affairs may be propagated and supported, that they are the opinions of the doctrines of Christianity have a greater tendency to procure virtue among men than any human laws or institutions, that these can best be taught and preserved in their purity in the established church. You can't have good citizens without us. Which gives the encouragement to men to study and acquire a competent knowledge of the Scriptures. They think that if these great purposes can be answered by religious establishment, the hardships which such regulation might impose on individuals or even bodies of men ought not to be considered. In other words, don't do it. Don't do it. That's the people that gave you the First and Second Commandments. That's the people that tried to enforce the First and the Second Amendments. Who you got to thank for this? God, for one. Absolutely. And the Baptist people that preached the Word of God, that all they wanted was the freedom of religion. They didn't want to be forced by the state to go get their marriage license and go get their burial permits or put your children in some citizen role. How have we changed in the last century? In the 1900s, how did we evolve in Baptist churches away from the original principles of our people? How far did we go? Too far? Remember, Matthew 28:18-20. After you've been kicked out of Jerusalem, go out and preach the gospel. Make disciples. You baptize those disciples, and then you teach those disciples to guard with their lives all things that I've handed down with you. You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then the Lord said, and I will be with you all the way to the end of age. Matthew 16:18. We have Peter there. We have all the disciples of the little church and nucleus there. And the Lord says to Peter, Peter, you're a little stone, but upon this gigantic foundation stone, me, the Lord Jesus Christ, me, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down, even though the gates of hell have tried to. And look here, in America, even after the revolution, they had to fight another revolution. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. Thank you for the histories that we have, the history of the people that fought for the rights of all humans to answer to you only and not to men, for their conscience and their religions. Father, please use this message wherever it goes. Help it to glorify you. Help people to understand what they have and where they are, and to hold on it with all their might. Don't let it be taken away again. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.